I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Lori Lansons joins me now. Her new novel is called The Wife's Tale. It is described as deeply humane and entirely convincing. It's set in Leaford, Ontario, which was also the setting of her first two novels. We'll ask her where that is on the map. On the eve of Mary Gooch's 25th anniversary, she discovers her husband isn't coming back. She sets forth on a journey of self-discovery that takes her to the big city, then to another country for the first time. Mary is just over 300 pounds, and though she's got a pretty face, she's obese. Lori Lansons is the author of two previous books, Rush Home Road and The Girls, which was a Richard and Judy Best Read of the Year. Her website is lorilansons.com. The Wife's Tale is published by Knopf. Please welcome to the Planta Online program from her home just outside of Los Angeles, Lori Lansons. Good morning, Miss Lansons.
Hi, it's nice to talk to you.
It's a pleasure to have you on the program. How long have you lived in California?
We moved here 3 years ago in June.
Your husband is a director, right?
That's right. My husband's a director on the television show 24. He's a producer-director on the show, actually.
Was it a big change for you moving from Toronto?
Joe, it was a huge change, but, you know, we left everything that was familiar. We'd been living in downtown Toronto for 25 years. So I think the largest change was the move from urban to rural. We now live in the Santa Monica Mountains, in a rural canyon, and my view outside the window is of hills and the horse ranch across the street.
And it seems to me that what happened in your life seemed to play into the book. Did it? My understanding.
Well, it did. Mary Gooch from The Wife's Tale followed a similar trajectory, in that when she leaves her husband, or when she leaves her small town of Leaford, because her husband has disappeared. Her search brings her to California, where she has reason to believe she might find him.
And Leaford is where?
Leaford is not actually on the map. It's fictional.
Right.
But it is it's in the area of southwestern Ontario, very near to the border at Detroit, and that's where I grew up, and that's where all of my books are set.
Why create something fictional rather than just set it in you grew up in Chatham, right?
I grew up in Chatham.
Yeah.
And in fact, Chatham does appear in the book, as do some other real cities, but one has license when you use a fictional address, because, of course, it shouldn't be taken literally, and with fiction you can recreate the length of a street or the distance from one town to another. So it, not to mention that the area is very small, and I'd hate to think people might recognize themselves.
Do you think about it often? I mean, living in California, do you think about not only Leaford, but Chatham?
I still do, and of course, because I've been writing about that area since I became a writer, really. My three novels are set there, but I set a number of screenplays there as well, and I set a couple of theatrical plays in the general area. And I suppose I'm like a lot of authors. I'm simply drawn to the landscape of my youth.
Some people have compared it, in reading up on you, to Alice Munro's Huron County.
Yes, I understand, and it's not dissimilar territory.
Yeah.
So I understand that comparison, and I'm flattered by it.
Well, when people write about your book, The Wife's Tale, and they write about Mary, they say that you've captured obesity well. I've seen photographs of you, and
right.
That you are not.
No.
So what sort of research did you do?
Well, I think obviously that at this particular time, there is an obesity epidemic. So obese people are all around us. We're a nation here in America and in Canada, becoming larger and larger. And of course, I have friends who are obese. I have family members who are obese. And I think there are a few of us who would not say that now. So my research is you know, very close observation. It's anecdotal. I relied on conversations that I've had with women throughout the years, and of course, thousands of articles written by women describing their obese, which is what Mary refers to her hunger as.
Obese.
Her obese.
Yeah, with the S in it, yeah. The S and the T. I came across something interesting when I was reading up on you, that 20 years ago we might have seen someone on the street that looked like Mary.
Yes.
But nowadays we know someone that is.
Yes.
What else sort of research was involved in writing a novel like this?
Well, it's so much, I think, as the other two novels were also characters very outside of myself, the first being an elderly black woman in Rushome Road and conjoined twins and the girls, I really am drawn to people on the fringes, and it's as any writing is, I think this just takes it to the extreme, that it is an act of empathy and a flight of imagination.
And you talked about drawn to people on the fringes and writing about people unlike yourself. Is it easier for you to write about someone else?
I'm sure it's easier. Those people who know me very well find me very quickly and very clearly in all of the characters, all of the protagonists of my book. My husband says that I'm half Rose and half Ruby, the conjoined twin characters of the girls. And after he read The Wife's Tale, he remarked that this is the closest character I've ever written to myself, which I understand might sound peculiar to an outside ear.
Oh, what's in Mary that's you?
Well, it's Mary's search, and it's a metaphor. But Mary and I are both, and this is why she was so appealing to me. We're both in our middle ages, sort of standing at this precipice, looking at what has come, you know, what has brought us here, and then looking forward to the next act. And I think many people at this juncture do an assessment of this first half of their lives and make changes and have, and you know, we talk about these midlife crises. I think that it is, the crisis is simply being at that juncture and trying to decide, will the next half of your life be, will you follow a similar trajectory, or will you change dramatically? Can you change dramatically? The answer is usually yes, and that's the drama of this book.
Do you think you'd have looked at yourself, perhaps, had you not moved to California?
Yes. I have been coming to California off and on with my husband for more than a decade, so it's not a place that is completely unfamiliar to me. The area that I chose to live was unfamiliar, but I understood a little bit of the film business because I was involved in that business for some time. So when I first started to find this character, Mary Gooch, it was at the end of writing The Girls, and there was a sense that she was a woman from Leaford. I saw her waving to me from the house behind the Darlin girls. And the question was, where is she going to go? Because in terms of broad strokes, I knew that she had to leave this place, literally leave it in order to change and find her sense of peace and grace. And even at that time, I had toyed with the idea of California. And then when I was moving here, of course, that all came to be, and I found Mary Gooch quite easily.
What does Mary look like?
Well, that's very interesting that you asked that, and I won't describe her face except to say, of course, as you said in the introduction, that she's beautiful. But everyone would have an image of what 300 pounds might look like on a woman who is 5'9" tall. She describes, in the book, she is described as being enrobed by a subcutaneous duvet. And she defines herself by her weight and feels that her weight defines her. So she can in no way find self-acceptance in this particular, at this particular time of her life, and her journey is really to conquer this thing that she perceives has control of her.
Now, you mentioned that you wrote screenplays. You don't do that anymore, do you?
No, I'm often asked that, of course, because I live in Hollywood land, or at least close enough to it, and my husband is in the business. But no, I'm happy writing novels, and feel that I've found my place here. Not to say that if the right situation came that I wouldn't consider it, but I'm very happy in my current incarnation.
When you write, do you write for the eye because you've done screenplays before, or do you write for the ear?
Both, I think, and hope. When I first started writing, I wrote short stories, and I went from there to I was interested in writing plays, so studied acting so that I could better understand the writer's process. And yes, I suppose in some ways my goal, and I know that this is not true for all writers, but I very much want to paint the proverbial picture for you and bring you by the hand into my world.
Now, you're a favorite at book clubs and the sort.
Yes.
And you've spoken at a number of them, have you?
Yes.
Well, what is that like as an author, to go to a room where people have read your book and have thought about it perhaps a lot more than someone, they've talked about it a lot more than someone who's just read it on the beach or on the plane or something like
sure.
that?
Sure. It's a very, very interesting, enlightening experience. Because I live in California, and down here, when the book was launched in America, they offered as a prize a book club, phoner book club, so that people phone on a conference call, and I would talk to anywhere from 20 to 50 people in a room who'd all read the book and discussed it before I got online. That was an anonymous situation where we couldn't see each other. So always very, very interesting, and I sensed that people were much bolder than they were, for example, when I was in the room at other book club events. So it was very interesting. And I had a very funny event one night when a group of women from Florida phoned, and she began by saying, welcoming me to the book club, and she said that there were 30 people in the room, and not a one of them liked the book. So I looked up at the clock and thought, okay, half an hour.
Yeah.
let's see what we have to say. And it was actually very, very just very interesting. And it's always good to be a little humbled.
Does that inform the writing process, or inform the writing process for you later on?
Oh, reader's response?
Yeah.
Well, not really, because the readers respond so differently. You know, I had as many book clubs that were sort of, very complimentary and enthusiastic, or certainly overwhelmingly. I had more book clubs like that than I had that were in any way negative. So, it's sort of like the idea of listening to critics. It's not really possible. Because in the end, it's a single person's opinion.
Do you read your reviews?
I don't read my reviews. My husband, every once in a while, will reline out loud, and I shake my head and please don't.
Yeah.
When my first professional writing was reviewed, it was a movie called South of Wawa, and on that day, I had two reviews. J. Scott in the Globe and Mail, I don't know if you remember J. Scott, the film reviewer,
right.
compared the writing to Chekhov, while another prominent reviewer asked if I'd been dropped on my head at birth. And I thought, that was such a gift. That was such a gift. And I realized that is the nature of reviewing, and that to read them would either be, crazy making or make my head swell.
But I guess it does say that you've been doing something right, doesn't it?
Well, I hope so.
Yeah. When was it that you wanted to become a writer?
From a very early age, from as far back as I can remember, really. But I have a note from my third grade teacher thanking me for being the class storyteller. And I see it in both of my children. My son just turned 9, and he spent the better part of the summer writing a 77-page graphic novel.
Wow.
He has the talent and the tenacity.
Yeah. So I guess that builds into the importance of reading in your life. You read early on, did you?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, and my children love reading, and Sunday mornings we gather in the living room. My husband and I are old school, and we read newspapers, and my children get their novels, and the four of us sit in the living room. It's a favorite. That's what we do on Sunday mornings.
Yeah. So how do you write? Do you write on a computer? Do you write longhand?
I do write on a computer. I really can't imagine now how I could get the work done, how I could be productive.
And when you're editing and reading your writing, do you read that on screen, or do you print that out?
It looks completely different when it's on a piece of white paper in front of you.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Doesn't it though?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yes, I do. I start each day by editing the previous day's work, so that I never ever face a blank page, and that's a great sort of running start for the day to work on editing, and it's something I think I learned as a screenwriter, all my years working as a screenwriter.
Do you have a schedule in terms of how often you write during the day?
I drop my children off at school, and I come home and get to work, and I set the alarm so that I don't leave them sitting there waiting for me at school.
Yeah.
And I write until it's time for me to go pick them up.
Now, a few years back, you were named one of Random House's New Faces of Fiction.
Yeah.
What did that do for your career? Did that help at all?
Well, that program... Random House's New Face of Fiction is a wonderful program, and has launched some pretty luminous careers, Anne-Marie MacDonald being among them. So it was a great mark of distinction. I was very honored by it, and I think it carried some prestige. So Rush Home Road went on from that that small group to become a bestseller, and it's been translated into now 15 languages.
We have novelists on from time to time regularly, as a matter of fact,
right.
And sometimes they tend to talk about the books that they're reading or books that they like, and they tend to look down at film and television. Now, your husband is in that business. Do you consume television regularly?
I consume television. I watch every episode of his show, 24, and I found some wonderful, especially in the cable stations, some wonderful, wonderful writing. And as a matter of fact, many critics will tell you now some of the best writing is coming from cable television right now. Some of the best filmic writing. So yes, I do, and I don't look down on it at all. But I must tell you that when we were in England, and my husband accompanied me to the British Book Awards, he said, nobody's going to want to talk to me. I'm in television. You know, they think that's so lowly. All of these British book folk, and when we were in groups, and my husband was introduced, and his job came up, people were just tickled and thrilled. 24! it's quite a big show over there, and people were excited to talk to him.
Are you working on another book now, Lori?
I'm taking a short break before I start my next novel. I've got the book came out in Canada first, but will be coming out in Europe and South America and the UK and USA in February, so I'm actually starting to do work for those launches now.
Lori, it's been a pleasure having you on the program today and having this conversation. Congratulations on the book. Continued good luck with it. I just have a sense that we'll be talking about this book years from now. I'm sure book clubs and the sort, they'll just love this.
Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. The website for more is laurielansons.com. The book is called The Wife's Tale. It's published by Knopf. Laurie Lansons, its author, on the line. I'm Joseph Plano.